In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. In case you are sitting here feeling liturgically confused as to the fact that I am in white and not in blue, I'm catching on. We have a baptism at the 10:30 service, and I kind of like to make a big deal of those things. So, honestly, we had a funeral on Thursday. We had to be dressed in white. I said, let's leave it. And then we'll be dressed in white on Sunday. People might be a little confused, or maybe you didn't notice at all. Either way, if you were wondering, yes, I'm aware that I'm supposed to be wearing that pretty blue that complements my eyes so nicely. So my wife tells me. Funny, the red goes with it too. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Romans today, actually. The lectionary picks up this last portion of Paul's thought. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's just one of those moments when Paul has written something, then all you can really answer that with is, amen. I mean, how wonderful is that thought that he's putting that out there as one voice to glorify God, that we should live together, encourage one another, live in harmony. That all sounds like a good, solid gospel message to me, and we could leave it there, I suspect. But then verse 7, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." And to be honest with you, I really didn't need to go any further than that. Once I read that, I had to stop and think to myself, and maybe you do too, when you hear that. My first thought is, how did Christ welcome me? Because Paul's saying, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. Well, how did he welcome me? And of course, we can think about that in many different ways, or we can stop and think about it individually. I mean, let's really stop and think for a moment. The moment I felt most welcomed by Christ was not a warm, fuzzy moment for me. It was a moment when I discovered I had no more secrets before God. And I had a lot of things that should have been kept secret. It was at my lowest point of understanding of self. I was not feeling particularly holy when I was welcomed by God. And I began to think about that. And it really comes down to the concept of discovering God's unconditional love. Unconditional love. What an amazing thing unconditional love can be. And I would say it is so much easier to give than to receive. To love someone as they are, I can do that much easier than I am able to receive the fact that I can be loved unconditionally also. I always feel like I should give something back to that person. So it took me a while to get the concept of unconditional love. It was hard. But I remember the moment. It takes me time. I'm a little slow. God has to sneak up on me just a little at a time. It's a little better now. But that's sort of my daily focus, is God. Well, every other day, roughly. But he snuck up on me. It took me a number of years, but God used other people in this world to show me unconditional love when I was at my least lovable state. And I remember the first time. And here's the reason I remember, and maybe it's true for you also. The moments in which I have received unconditional love are the moments I can look back at my life and check off turning points. You know what I mean? So the very first time I was living a life that was probably, well, you don't want to know how it was. It just wasn't great. My eldest child was about this tall. Being in O'Carroll, he's now this tall. But he was about this tall at the time. A toddler. Maybe three. I was at a place in my life where my life was not at all in alignment with God's will, to put it mildly. And I looked at this little child, and he looked up at me. And in our house, it was, hey, give me a squeeze. You know, it was always a hug. And he's looking up at me with his little arms up. And he had this look in his eye that told me he thought I was everything. You know the look. He thought I was everything. But I knew who I was. And I knew what I was. And in that moment, I had another realization. He's going to want to be like me, his father. And that was the most horrible thought to me. I couldn't bear the thought of him being like me. It was the last thing I would have wanted for him. So I had to make a choice. And it was at that moment my life began to change for the better. And I've often wondered, why is that true? And as I was reading through this passage, the fact is this: it was a moment in which I received unconditional love. Now, you might say he was just a little child, he didn't know any better. But I would say God used him to show me something that I couldn't see that God wanted me to have. An unconditional love that would make me feel as though I was valuable regardless of how I had been behaving or what had been going on in my life. God loved me just as I was. But he loved me so much, he wanted me to be more like my father. He wanted me to be like him. He wanted me to be, as Paul states in here, the one who brings hope. I couldn't offer my son much hope at that point in my life. I pray he doesn't really remember it. He was young. But these moments of receiving unconditional love change us. It's easy to look at someone and see them broken and damaged and hurting and say to them, let me love you. It's a whole nother thing when we recognize someone's looking at us as broken, damaged, and hurting and they want to love us. Because we don't necessarily feel it, do we? But that is what God does for us every single time. When he says in this passage, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, that is how he has welcomed us, with this unconditional love, and a love that is so deep that he can see us where we are and take hold of us and say, no, you come with me. And we can say, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. I'm not right. I'm not okay. And God says, I know. But I'm going to take you and welcome you anyway. And in that very moment, our life begins to change. And from every moment after that, we begin to recognize within ourselves the God's very presence, the things that make us lovable and the things that make us worthy are all Him. And He can just keep drawing us closer and closer until we begin to not only want to look and be like our Father, we actually begin to be like our Father. Unconditional love is a turning point. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. And for what? For the glory of God. So that the world can see that there is healing, there is hope, there is a very presence of God that can change lives, that can change a world. But we have to be ready to just not be ready. It doesn't make sense, though, does it? But at some point, we have to be able to say, I am broken, and I am damaged, and I don't feel loved, and I don't feel lovable. And then maybe, just maybe, at some point, God will use someone maybe to speak to you like He had to for me, because I couldn't hear Him. To hear another voice of someone who stood beside me, although a little shorter then, never said a word, really, but his eyes spoke everything. He thought I was everything, and I knew I couldn't be all that he thought I was. But thanks be to God and to the glory of God, I've managed to do okay. Because God loved me unconditionally and then changed my condition. He wants to do that for all of us, regardless of what your condition may be. And I have to be reminded often that He still loves me unconditionally. I'd like to tell you I'm completely flawless and have made no mistakes since that moment. But I probably shouldn't lie. It is only by the understanding that when I go off track, when I am not making straight His path in my life, I can always regroup, confess, repent, turn to the Lord, seek His guidance, and find His way in my life. He came for us, and Paul reminds us of that. As he says, leaning on the prophets, as it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise Him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In Him, the Gentiles shall hope. That's us. We have this hope through Jesus Christ. Access to the one true God has been given to all. It wasn't just about the chosen people anymore. This is about access for all people to the transforming love of God has been given to us. And Paul leaves with this simple prayer. I hear it as a prayer. And I hope you do too. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can hear it. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught up in abound in hope and say, I don't know how to do that. He already knows you don't know how to do it. You abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which indwells you. At the next service, we'll get to recognize that in the baptism. Sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Forever. No conditions. Forever. Doesn't make you perfect, but it gives you access to the perfect one. You have that access. It comes through his unconditional love for you. And when you have received it, you know what I'm saying. You know those are the turning points in your life when things change. And Paul says, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Welcome. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Wait for it. Oh my, technology. It's a glorious thing. I just wanted to take about 35 minutes or so. I'm really grateful to hear that story told from Isaiah himself this morning, this concept of God's love, which makes really no sense at all, does it? To the point of the lion and the lamb laying together. This concept of God's love, which I think all of us have heard about, and which Paul even alludes to in his writing today. Verse 7, he says this, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. And I read that earlier this week, and I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and preach on the gospel. And then I probably shouldn't tell you this, but about 10 o'clock last night, after I had spent roughly 2 hours prepping my sermon on the gospel, the Lord said, you're preaching on Romans tomorrow. So I couldn't really understand it until I read through it again last night, and I read that line, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. Be a witness. How has Christ welcomed you? That's your witness. How has he come to pour out his unconditional love on you so that you will know how to pour it out on others? That's what Paul is saying here. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. Christ has welcomed you with unconditional love. Amen? Amen. And he does it incrementally. I mean, it sounds really good, doesn't it? But can you really define it? Do you know exactly what to do after you hear that? And if you're like me, maybe you don't. And I can look at the picture of the lion and the lamb together and think, that's kind of cool, right? It's beautiful. We understand that level of God's peace and love in the midst of that, but it doesn't make sense. And I'm certainly not going to test it with my lamb. So I've started to reflect on this process that I entered into many years ago in beginning to understand God's unconditional love. Because I was so far from it, I couldn't have seen it. It wouldn't have mattered what you said to me at that point. You could have told me everything that Scripture says. You could have shared all these words. But I was so far from the love of God. It would have made no sense to me at all. But God is good, amen? And well, you'll decide later, because it's because of this I ended up here. I remember the moment it started. I remember the moment the concept of unconditional love entered into my heart. Not here. Here. Spoke to my very being. And it was many years ago now. This little boy, he was about this tall. He's my son, so now he's this tall. Just a little boy. A toddler. And we always had this thing in our house, you know, when they were little, it's like, hey, give me a squeeze. You know, because hugs can be kind of like, eh. No, I really wanted to get a hold of my kids and just hold them, you know. They still do that, by the way. They're most of them, almost in their 30s, all of them now. But and so I remember this day, he was very young, and, well, quite frankly, so was I. But you already know that. And he's looking up at me. And his eyes spoke to me. He's looking up at me, and I could see in his eyes, he thought I was everything. He thought I was everything. And I knew I was nothing. I knew what I was. But he didn't. I was his dad. That's what he knew. And he's reaching his arms up to me with this look in his eyes like, everything. And I knew I was a mess. Broken, sinful, so far from the love of God, I couldn't even recognize it. But you know, I saw it in his eyes. And my heart opened. And my life began to change from that moment. Because all I could think of is this young man, this little boy, is looking up at his father, and he's going to be thinking, undoubtedly, if not now, but at some point, I'm going to be like my dad. And that would have been the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. That he would be like me. The thought of it horrified me. I didn't want him to be anything like I was at that time. Broken, damaged, sinful, selfish, hurting. I didn't want that for him. So even though I couldn't understand fully the love of God at that moment, I could see God in the eyes of my child. And the Lord cracked open my heart. Just a little bit, and his light began to shine into my broken, dark life. It was just a little, but it was a moment when everything started to turn. And I'd like to tell you the very next day I fell on my knees and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I didn't. It took a while. And it took more moments like that to keep putting them together and putting them together until I could come to the place of understanding that I myself am standing before my Father, looking up at him and saying, I want to be like you. And in that moment, just knowing that because of who I was and what I was and all the things I had done, I knew my Father, my Heavenly Father, was going to look at me and say, I don't think so. Not you. You're not good enough. You're not right enough. You're not close enough. You don't understand enough. You don't even read my word. You don't even go to church enough. I wasn't enough, and I knew it. So I held back for a while. And then the day finally came. And I don't know what finally drove me to it. Dabbling around a little bit, playing church. And finally, the Lord drove me to my knees, and I had to go before him and look up to him. And I know in my eyes it must have said, you're everything. And in that moment that I thought for sure I would be totally rejected, the Lord gave me a squeeze. And he took me unconditionally. He loved me so much that he just scooped me up and held me. It looked more like me laying on the ground in the dirt, to be honest with you. In the woods, happens. But I just knew he had me. And I never wanted to leave it, ever. He's my hope. And I can look back at my life now and recognize times when my life had turned right. I don't know if you've ever done that. Looked at your life and said, you know, things went good here. And I got a little lost. And then things went good again. And then maybe I got a little lost. But I discovered something, brothers and sisters, over the years. Every single time I have turned away from God, it was out of fear that I wasn't good enough. Every single time I've come closer to God and come to know him more, every single time has been when I have trusted in his promise of unconditional love and received it. It is much easier to give unconditional love than it is to receive unconditional love, isn't it? And we hold back. Don't. He might make you think that you are a fool by the things he'll ask you to do. But you won't be, I promise. He will never abandon you. He will never turn you away. He will always see you looking up. And he will see it all. But he will always see his precious child, who he is going to save. He is our hope. Paul reminds us repeatedly of that in his writing today. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. We will better understand the hope when we are ready to accept the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. Unconditional. And he will love you so deeply that no matter where you are, he will take you and he will grow you from there. If you are waiting to get right with God before you come before God, you will never get there. He wants you to come broken. And he will love you so deeply, he will refuse to leave you that way. He will save you. Unconditional love. And then he says, as Paul says, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. Unconditionally. No matter what. Welcome one another. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. And he tells us why he does it. For the glory of God. That's his glory. All the things we cannot do anything about within our own lives, all the things that have happened to us, all the things that we just take on as part of who we are, and we just say, well, you know what? I know it's not right, but it's just who I am. I don't know if you've ever said that. It's just who I am. I'm only human. Now, you wish. If you're only human, you'd be the way God created you. You're only broken, fallen human. What God does is he takes that. And he takes his children, us, and he says, yes, be like me. I want you to be like me, he says. Paul puts it this way, welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. That is his glory. He can do what we cannot. And that is our hope. And he doesn't leave us alone to figure it out. Paul ends with this passage, verse 13. Sounds almost like a prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's why I can't do it on my own. We can only abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which indwells us. In fact, in just a couple of minutes, I was kidding, it won't be 35. We get to baptize a member of this community into the body of Christ, not into holy innocence, but into the very body of Christ. It's a great privilege we have, and I want you to be sure you take it very seriously. And if you are not ready to back all of this up, be very careful how you answer the questions that will come. Because she's beautiful and young and a little girl now, but she'll be a teenager. We're still going to be here. So, brothers and sisters, our opportunity to abound in this love of God comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this day we recognize that very presence in one of our own. And at some point we will actually anoint her in anointed by the Holy Spirit, or anointed in baptism, sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked as Christ's own forever. Come up. Bring everybody with you.